time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Aldow. Trade, tariffs, and national security. That's the conversation today, friends. Immigration, our trade policies, and how does it impact our American ideals, if you will. Friends, let's jump into the top story, which is really going to be Mexico, China, immigration. I'd like you to welcome on here Harry Dent. Harry is an economic forecaster and New York Times best-selling author. His recent book, Zero Hour, turned the greatest political and financial upheaval in modern history to your advantage. HarryDent.com. He's got a newsletter on there. We'll tell you about that a little bit after here. Let's start with the top story here. Harry, well, listen, series of tweets came out from President Trump. He says on June 10th, the United States will impose a 5% tariff on all goods coming into our country from Mexico. Until such time as illegal migrants coming through Mexico and into our country stop, the tariff will gradually increase until the illegal immigration problem is remedied. Now, he goes on to say Mexico has taken advantage of the United States for decades. And, of course, he's pointed that out about a lot of countries. Because of the Dems, our immigration laws are bad. Mexico makes a fortune from the United States, have for decades. They can easily fix the problem. Time for them to finally do what must be done. So what I get out of this series of tweets that came from the president, again, it's always interesting today, foreign policy by tweet. But what I find interesting is when he makes the statement, well, Mexico can fix the problem. They've made a fortune over the decades. Well, our Congress can fix the problem as well. They just choose not to do that. Now, this is an unprecedented move. I don't remember ever seeing something like this where you take a problem like trade and the economics and you tie it directly to this immigration nightmare that's happening on the border. And these tariffs will increase up to 25% come October if they don't do anything. Now, of course, Mexico is up in arms. We'll talk about that a little bit here. So I guess the big question is that was this the right move? And what are the implications, you think?
Well, a couple things. Mexico just had a minus 0.2% first quarter after a weak second quarter last year. So they're starting to stumble already, as is the whole rest of the world slowing except for us. We had the tax cuts and nobody else got that. So everybody keeps slowing in line with demographics, and Mexico's already weak. And yes, it does not make sense to mix immigration policy with trade policy. That should be a last ditch effort. I mean, yes, they can firm up their side of the border. We can firm up ours, and more importantly, create much more clear legal paths to immigration instead of illegal. I mean, it almost pays to be illegal. The poor legal immigrants have to go through hell and high water to get in, and the illegals just have to run across the border if they're lucky. So that I would not mix these two. We already have a massive trade war with China, and that's another topic I'm sure we'll get into. I've been saying from day one, China is never going to give in easy on this one. They have a longer term plan than we do. And so with that already, to now hit Mexico with tariffs over immigration is the wrong thing.
Well, and I was wondering, we hadn't talked about that, but I was very curious what your position was on that. And it was an eye opener. Listen, I was shocked when I seen the newswire come over that he was doing that. But now you said something just now. You said, well, a last-ditch effort. I mean, you really wouldn't do that unless – but let's talk about that just a quick moment here, because we can gloss over that, but I don't think we should, because it seems to me when I seen that Newswire report, Harry, I came to the conclusion very quickly that the president was at wit's end with Congress and the courts. Now, everything he's tried over the past 2.5 years, he's been stopped cold. I mean, in every regard, to get that border secure. Now, at the same time, the crisis has been magnified like we've never seen before. I mean, they just simply can't handle it. And It is a crisis. It's a major, major crisis. In fact, a lot of the security border are going to end up quitting. They don't know what to do. The capacity down there is so overtaxed, it isn't funny. They're now letting them through the country by the tens of thousands are being released throughout the nation. So I think he was at wit's end. I think this was a last-ditch effort. He knows for the next 2 years, Congress isn't going to do anything else about immigration because they don't want a victory for this president. So Although this was a strange move, what do we do? What's he going to do?
And wait a minute. He's got to get reelected next year.
Exactly.
He is doing everything. Curbing immigration works against demographics, whether you like them or not. Illegal. Trade wars works against the economy globally and the U.S. And now he's hitting Mexico, oil partner. Look, Mexico's done us more good than harm. They make products cheaper. They don't cheat in all the ways that China does. And we're the ones that let people, we let illegals in for many years because businesses need them. We look the other way. It's more our fault than theirs. It should be our policy to police our borders and create a clear.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that at all, Harry. Hold on now. What you say there is very important because that's the flip side of this thing. And I don't disagree with anything you just said. I think most people would agree with you. Congress has failed to act and he's now going to penalize Mexico. And you point out some very interesting things there. We do more fair trade with Mexico in all honesty here. Yeah. We have a far more balanced trade program than we have most countries out there, quite honestly.
They're a good trade partner.
They exactly are. Let's just play the flip side a moment here now. You've got thousands of miles. These people are coming from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, all of these countries down in Central America. And it would be like people walking across our country or going by caravan of some sort, trucks, what have you, from coast to coast. And they're doing that in Mexico without even being really harassed. I mean, they get through the whole thing. The kids are being abused. You talk about sexual abuse and bad characters with the cartel. I mean, there's more human rights issues happening in Mexico right now from that border to our border than anywhere probably happening. And yet the politicians continue to look the other way. Listen, it is unprecedented with him doing this, but what other options does he have at this point? Can you tell me that to be able to? I mean, I think he's doing a last-ditch effort, what you qualified up front. That's what I think he's doing. I don't think he knows what else to do.
If he doesn't mind the economy collapsing next year and he not getting reelected, then fine. I think he's an idiot, Malcolm. Gut decisions, he does anything to get his way.
Right.
I don't disagree with at least half of his policies. I agree with how he does it. Hey, do you have to discipline China? Yeah, but don't give a bloody nose to the most powerful economy, second to ours in the world, that's created almost all the growth in the last 2.5 decades. Annihilated poverty the fastest of anybody. Don't hit them so hard that you force a global recession. It's overreaction. So he's playing by the gut, and I'm sorry. You can't be president of the United States and play everything by the gut and Twitter. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's not a leader. He's not a disruptor. Mm-hmm. He's a destructor. That's a difference.
Interesting.
Innovators create a better world from disruptions. He's just knocking down the old one with no basic solution. He can create all the manufacturing jobs he wants. In 10 years, they're going to be gone to robots anyway. So the whole thing doesn't make sense.
Well, and I've been talking about that with the AI revolution coming. You're 100% right. That's a lot of things are going to change in the next decade or two. People have no idea what's going to happen here just ahead here. We're at a very crucial point in this country. I know you agree with that statement. We're living in some really uncharted waters here, and that's just not words here. This is real fact here.
Malcolm, we're also, this is a big cycle I've talked about for decades now, a 250-year revolutionary political revolution cycle that goes back to the advent of democracy in the late 1700s and the Protestant Revolution in Europe 250 years before that. This is a cycle when you should expect all of this. It is blue versus red. It is Northern Europe versus Southern Europe. This is happening everywhere. Populist movements. That happens every 84 years. We outline this in 0 hour. This is the time. Trump is a part of this. Brexit is a part of this. It's just not the bigger picture.
All right, let me ask you this. With the Mexico problem, what industries are going to feel the pain here in the U.S.?
Well, I think probably the biggest is probably automakers. They import a lot of parts and stuff. They don't make full cars in Mexico as much as they make all types of parts and things that feed into our supply chain. And of course, they are more necessary now that we're having companies here are having to diversify against their China supply chains. And in fact, Fareed Zakaria last Sunday had a great show talking about how China is now looking at this war with the United States trade war and saying, you know what? They may have to develop their entire technological supply chain there. They already have Huawei and Alibaba and key sectors, but they may have to do the whole thing. And we may have a bipolar world where there's a whole technological infrastructure from China for Asia and a whole one here. That's not good. That's not specialization of labor. That's double efforts for something that could be done better on larger scale. So that's one of the consequences here. But how are companies in the U.S. going to deal with the China trade war if now they go to Mexico and, oops, now Trump's put tariffs on Mexico, nothing to do with unfair trade, all to do with immigration, which has really been our mistake, not theirs.
Yeah, there's no question.
Also, Malcolm, these people on the border now coming up, they are not Mexicans. They're coming from Central America.
Right. Well, but his point is Mexico should stop them.
They should control them. I agree, on their southern border.
Absolutely. I mean, do something.
Their southern border.
Well, it is, and you don't let people just walk through and carry through the entire country caravans like the size they have. That's the point here. That is totally out of control. All right, let me talk to you about the USMCA. Now, to remind people, this is the replacement to NAFTA. And that revised the rules of engagement with Mexico and Canada for North America here for trade. This was a big deal. This was actually a bigger deal than China, believe it or not, even though you wouldn't know that if you just read some of the headlines here. Now, how much of this is at risk now? Pelosi, she's slow walking this thing, Harry. She comes out and says the other day, she issued a statement suggesting that the deal lacks strong enforcement provisions. Now, of course, she's talking in riddles because she doesn't want any victory. They're not legislating at all. They have everything in gridlock right now. So what happens to the USMCA? A, does it get ratified this year or does it blow up with all this Mexico problem now?
Well, certainly this creates a higher chance it'll blow up. I don't know that in depth. All I know is this is more important than China because Canada and Mexico are our biggest trading partners. Canada first, then Mexico. China, we're important to China. China's not that important to us because we import from them a quarter or export to them a quarter what we import from them.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal to them. We're still the largest economy in the world in U.S. dollars, and they need us. If we lost China imports, we could just realign with Mexico and some other countries and be fine. So in China doesn't want to agree to this deal because their goal is to annihilate us and become number one. And they have a long-term strategy from urbanizing too rapidly, but a good strategy, but too rapidly. And their Belt and Road Initiative to build this whole Silk Road throughout Eurasia, another great strategy, but they're overdoing it with too much debt. Again, I think it's going to cause a collapse. But this is why China's being tough. China's the one that should be cowering here. They're hurting four times as much as we are. But yes, why would you want to now lock the door to Mexico as that is our best alternative in the trade war with China?
All right. Well, let's talk about China more now that you've opened that up here. And we have a trade deficit with them that is more than 3-1.
Inflation's not exactly a big problem right now. So, again, it definitely hurts China more than us. The difference is China looks at the long-term picture. We can take this hit short-term in lieu of taking too big a hit long term because they want to be the number one country in the world. Economy, trade, and everything.
And
militarily, ultimately.
Yeah, we've been really focusing. I've been really focusing on China over the past many weeks here and really trying to point out to folks what's really going on because, again, nobody's really talking. You know, while we're battling Russia, our politicians, and having all this fun games with Russia, it's really China is the point that we really need to be looking at ahead, not Russia. But they've lost sight of that, and this is just stupid politicians doing stupid tricks here, obviously. Let me ask you about Xi Jinping now. he obviously is seen by many as playing, he's got a pretty weakened hand right now, people believe, in some of the things you pointed out right now, but he's got the hardliners in Beijing as well. He and Trump have they've had a very good personal relationship up to now. But once you insult the Chinese and pride becomes a big part of that, then you begin to lose face and the deal breaks down. You're not going to come to any conclusion that's successful. They're very good at playing the long game. Yeah. What do you see happening right now? Because right now, this is everything. Listen, Harry, you know how the Chinese are. Everything looked like it was headed to, at least that's what we were getting from our people, is that we were close to an agreement. And then they changed everything at the end as they were coming to a head here, which has happened before with China.
Now, this is illusion on our part. This was never the case. It's the same with Kim Jong-un. Oh, yeah, I'll be a good boy and stop my missiles and destroy a few things.
Right.
And then boom, 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 buy time and start shooting them off again. Like, screw you. We were just basically jerking you off and biding time. They have, like you said, long-term goals. They are not here to coexist with the U.S. They are here to become the number one country in the world on every facet, and they are not going to make compromises short-term that will get in the way with those long-term goals. My problem with China, again, they have urbanized too fast with massive amounts of debt and excess capacity. They print condos instead of money. They print empty plants and malls and infrastructures. That's going to kill them. I mean, it already killed East Asia for 4 years from 1997 to 2002. Imagine China's way overexpanded. Now they're doing this Belt and Road Initiative. They're going to bankrupt tons of emerging countries that overinvest in infrastructures at the top of a long boom just before we go into a global crisis, which is inevitable with the debt and demographics at this point. And it's just going to be a big fiasco. So China's problem is they do have a long game, much better than us. Very good long-term strategy. They're overdoing it because they have no accountability to democracy and no accountability to free markets. That's what keeps us more honest, even if it's messy at times. And so China's simply going to prove to me and to the world what Russia already did many decades ago. State-driven capitalism, top-down communist governments do not work. There's not a damn one in the world that's worked for this shit. And it won't happen this time, even though they've done it more cleverly. So China's in for their own collapse. That's going to be their mistake.
Interesting.
It's not going to be our trade war that killed them. It's just going to be a trigger. And it's the same thing with this Mexico thing. We were the ones that have been lax on immigration and looked the other way for so many decades. So, of course, illegal people, why wouldn't they go across the border? And the truth is, I saw a study, especially drug-related stuff, walls don't make that much a difference there. Most people get over, through tunnels or over on airplanes or something. Right. Walls not going to stop the drug traffic, hardly at all from this study. And I don't think it would make a big difference in illegal immigration. Illegal immigrants from Mexico have been falling for several years, and immigration overall peaked in 2001, has been declining. Immigration's a past thing. The problem is, as we discussed earlier, it's these immigrants coming from Central America into Mexico and then coming on our border.
Which is what the president's addressing with this with this unprecedented move, Harry.
Right, that's... Right. Well, you got to penalize them some way other than trade. I mean, you can just plain old fine them or something or do something. But to, again, this is just, I'm just saying it's a difficult time to use trade as a lever.
Let me give you this point here. I hear everything you've just said, and it's interesting, but here's the thing that I want you to think about as well here a minute here. Yeah, this is very unusual, very uncharacteristic of a president to do anything of the sorts that we're speaking about right now. I mean, listen, conventional wisdom is not working, Harry. So Trump is non-conventional, clearly. Here's the thing you have to admit, which I know is hard to admit. But you are sometimes, when you're speaking like this is the way it should be. This is what normally should happen. This is the way politicians should act, which Trump never does. I mean, you and I talked about that last year. He just doesn't act that way. He isn't that way, period. These are unusual times. They're very unconventional times. But here's the thing, Harry, when you say he's a fool for the next election, I want to say this to you. In many ways, you would look at Trump, and many people would say, this guy is off the charts crazy. to do what he's doing right now, right on the means of a general election. There's no politician that would come to your mind right now that anybody could think who would self-inflict this kind of pain. When the economy is doing really well, why would you do this? Well, because Trump clearly doesn't play for the next election. Now, Harry, now stop a minute. That in itself is most unusual. You have to admit that. Because any politician you and I would talk about right now, you know damn well they're going to do what they need to do to line their pockets and their coffers. You have to admit that.
I disagree with you 100%.
Tell me.
He's playing his base, who I call the all-star wrestling fans. They are angry. They hate immigrants. They hate foreign worker competition from anywhere in the world. And he is doing what they want. Get these people. Knock down China. Knock down Mexico. Stop immigrants, legal and illegal. We don't want any competition for our old secure middle class jobs, which are disappearing anyway. Yeah. And if it's not China or Mexico, it'll be Vietnam or Indonesia. And if it's not that, it'll be robots. To try to restore the old manufacturing economy is wrong strategy. I'll tell you who has the right strategy. Jack Stack wrote a book, 1989, The Great Game of Business. He took over a plant, a manufacturing plant in Ohio. AI pushed the information down to the frontline workers, made them into small teams and businesses, rewarded them for their profits. He now has a healthy, growing plant with millionaires as employees, not middle class, freaking millionaires. That's the answer to the dwindling middle class.
Well,
not to go back to the 1950s and manufacturing.
All right.
Low skills, make people smarter.
Don't I'll tell you what, we will talk more about that answer and solution. I'm going to invite you on to The Voice of a Nation, our weekly press, so we have more time to dive into this, because this is a fascinating conversation. Your last point about his followers, that's really a big part of the country. You're talking about middle America. You're talking about families and manufacturing and people who are not prepared for the next revolution.
It's the lower side of middle America. It is people that have been losing jobs.
Big time.
Foreign competition. Again, I'd rather have the immigrants in our country working and paying taxes and buying here than kicking our ass from China or Mexico, because they're going to kick your ass one way or the other, because they can do the same low-skilled job for lower wages. That's the problem.
Well,
that's a reality that doesn't get solved by tariffs and bringing back unproductive jobs back to a country that can do better.
Well, and the one thing I want people to take away, it should make you think. At the very least, what you want to do with these kinds of conversations, people, is you want to think. And you want to think about the alternatives. And there were some very interesting things just said here in regards to Mexico and China as well that are very eye-opening here. Again, harrydent.com is where you can find out more about Harry. Listen, up next, we're going to tear everything we just talked about apart here. Immigration, trade policies, and American ideals.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Pat Boone here for the folks at Swiss America. Rock solid foundations are vital in life, in business, and in finance, because in the end, only what we've built on a firm foundation will withstand the storms of life. Today, the economic storms are raging and the foundations of everything are being tested. The world economy has never looked shakier. And gold, the world's oldest and most trusted form of money, is also grabbing headlines. Now is the time to put your future on a rock-solid foundation. Swiss America will help you create an indestructible asset today. Discover the timeless truth about gold and silver by calling Swiss America or visiting online at SwissAmerica.com.
800-978-3901. Once again, that's 800-978-3901.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. There is conventional wisdom, and then there is unconventional wisdom, and then there is Donald Trump, you see. I mean, look at everything in the room right now, and then you do your own math quickly. And you see, we're in some unusual times here. You know, I'll say this to you up front here. With this, doing what he's done to Mexico is either a brilliant idea or the most stupid political move in the century, in this next coming century. I mean, that's about what it is. I don't know which it is. We won't know till we see how the fallout is. But it has the possibility to totally throw our trade into an economic collapse and our economy here. He's playing the cards. It's a very strange poker game, actually. I find it quite fascinating here. Let's bring on our panel here and discuss what we just heard from Harry Dent and also our immigration trade policies and American ideals here. Welcome onto the show here, please, Dennis Santiago. Dennis is an American strategist, a philosopher, patriot, subject matter expertise is strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, and global stability. Jules Jones. Jules is a political activist, an entrepreneur, small business owner. Matt King is here. Matt is an independent researcher and a veteran of the United States Air Force. And Arnetta Notkin, 30 years working on Wall Street. Financial advisor should come in handy here at Constitutional Centrist. Very interesting panel discussion. This, I want to talk about Mexico first and talk about this unusual move in the chess game that the president did. And when I seen the news wire, I immediately thought, what really came through my mind, Matt, was this. It's either an absolutely brilliant move or this guy is committing suicide here, a political suicide. I mean, but to do this at any point is pretty wild and, you know, but to do this before an election, in an election cycle, is, it's unheard of. I mean, it's completely unheard of. We've never seen anything like this. So I don't know, does America get behind him and support him, Matt? Does it become a brilliant move or not?
We hired a fighter. That's what we did when we went to the election, to the polls on election day. We wanted a fighter and we've got one. And no, I think that everybody stands behind him and we keep pushing. This is the path. We're getting exactly what we want.
Getting what we want versus what we deserve. I wonder how that matches up as well. You know, I just find it interesting, Matt, that, you know, a lot of people look at Trump supporters as being a strange breed of some sort. And really, see, I don't see it that way. I see these as the patriots and as really mainstream America. Correct me on this, Matt, if I'm right or wrong here, please. But I have a real disconnect with people who seem to think they're somebody different. I think they're families. They're middle America. They're people who are really tired of the political class and tired of us being screwed over. What do you say to that?
Oh, I agree. I think that the main difference is that the Trump support, the base, are people that whenever they hear people like Harry, who was on earlier, he's clearly a smart person, but you hear a lot of, oh, we can't do that, or, oh, that won't work. And Trump's base is full of people that say, well, why not? Why can't we do that? Why won't it work? And that's the real difference that I see.
Yeah. Dennis, that is really interesting because, again, you and I, we've talked a lot over the years about American exceptionalism, and I believe there is American might. And when I talk about American ideals, I think America really is a magnificent place. I always refer to it on radio as the majesty of America. But I believe the American people are the best and the most brilliant. I just hope we continue to maybe live up to that standard when we get to the next election, though, Dennis, you know. So, all right, so tell me, is this move with Mexico, is it a brilliant move or is it potentially political suicide, Dennis?
I don't think it's political suicide, and I very clearly see that this is a move that was waiting to happen. We have a problem with what happens in the Western Hemisphere, and Mexico is central and part of it. What Trump has recognized is that we've been trying to work with the Mexican government for a couple of years now to stem the flow of the source of the actual problem, which is an economy in Central and South America that is sending refugees, or not even refugees. Some of them are refugees, but others are just people that they are recruiting for economic purposes. There's a human trafficking industry that has grown in Central and South America that is coming through Mexico and getting to the U.S. border. By international law, that stop where these people should be evaluated is supposed to be at the first border crossing, and that is the southern border of Mexico. We've been trying to work with the Mexicans to do something about it. They have not done anything about it from the point of view of really toughening up that part of the border. What Trump is asking for essentially is nothing more than do your part in the management of the Organization of American States. And I think that is a legitimate ask from one nation to another putting into place at this point in time.
But isn't this sort of also kind of like a Hail Mary pass, Dennis? I mean, with immigration?
Well, seeing as we've tried to divert these caravans, I mean, they've been a problem that we've been talking about for at least a year and a half now, and nothing has stopped them. They were a problem even before the Trump administration came to hold the White House. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like we haven't tried. So at this point, we've been trying to work with these people. We've been trying to work with UNHCR. Mm-hmm. We've put money into this. We've been funding setting up refugee camps that people don't use on the southern border of Mexico. I mean, in the end, it's not like we have not done our part to figure out a way out of this.
If Mexico can't come to bat on what we're asking them to do, then he's going to have to honor the red line and start throwing tariffs on Mexico, don't you think?
Here's the deal. If Mexico doesn't step up, they're going to end up paying for that wall. And that's another campaign promise that Trump will fulfill by doing so. We have been ignored in Congress. Trump has been ignored. This has been going on, like you said, for years and years and years. Trump is putting America first. He realizes this is a problem. Politicians are making deals across the, you know, with the gangs, with these coyotes, all these different things. Mm-hmm. And Trump is really putting it out there for the American people, the American workers, and saying, we're not going to foot this bill anymore. We're not going to pay $113 billion annually. We're not going to pay $39 billion on education. We're not going to pay $15 billion on medical services. We're not going to continue to accept what you're bringing across the border and doing it illegally.
Yeah, yeah. So you have no problem with this then? You're in support of this measure then? I mean, you think it's going to work?
I absolutely think it's going to work, and I think it's a perfect time to do it. Absolutely.
And the idea of tying immigration to trade and tariffs like this, Arnetta, from a financial aspect, it's an incredible move. I mean, we haven't seen the likes of this before. Obviously, I do consider this a Hail Mary pass, which Dent did say at one point, well, until, you know, you've got to exhaust all means. But I kind of pointed out to him, we have exhausted all means. What more could we do?
In the past, I have not supported ideas of tariffs, but this is not in the past. This is the here and now, and the need for a change is paramount. There's also the aspect that the Mexican economy is slowing, but then there is the issue, what is their largest economy? Well, the largest economy is the money that these immigrants are sending back to Mexico without any restraints whatsoever. We're talking billions, Malcolm. Mm-hmm. So will that then inflame the situation if Mexico looks at and is willing to accept the amount of money that's already coming from the U.S. from these people who are here, legally and illegally, or are they looking for the golden egg of increasing those numbers of people here in the country that would send money back? So it is one of those dilemmas with Mexico, but I bet on Trump. I think it's a genius plan. I think he is punching back. It's the art of the deal. And what he's proposing is temporary. It's not a done deal, but if Mexico doesn't cooperate, the tariffs increase. But here's another wrinkle in it. You know that the group of attorney generals and that cabal, I think it's 19 states, the attorney generals get together and sue almost every breath that President Trump takes. Mm-hmm. So before this even goes into effect, they're going to sue him. It's going to come before a activist judge. So it could be a moot point.
Interesting.
To start with.
You know, all of our trade policies with all of these countries are upside down. Now, this is something Trump ran on. I mean, he ran on this as a feverish pitch there through the campaign. And he pointed out a lot of things that a lot of people were not focused on in America. Immigration being one, trade policies being another. In fact, those are probably the one, two big points as to why he became president, as far as I'm concerned. He pointed out NAFTA, he pointed out China, he pointed out Japan, he pointed out all the European Union, all of these upside down trade deals, you see. None of these trade policies protect the American consumer. None of them have ever protected the American consumer. So my question to you, Arnetta, is why do we have them? And why are we so backwards in our trade?
Well, it's one of the things that has been set up. It's a historical trade agreement that was set up that, to me, needs to be a dying dinosaur. We should be able to negotiate and have open trade, free trade, but that's not the way it works. It's the other countries want to take advantage of us, and they charge the American people, because it is the American people that pay for that. They are charging the American people for the ability and the privilege of the goods that we send them. So it's a quid pro quo move. I would advocate to do away with tariffs altogether. But right. The other countries are greedy, and they feel they have control because of what we bring into the country, their technology, their cars, everything. So yeah. They think that they have us.
Yeah. Well, the administration has come out in all fairness, and they have said they don't want to do any tariffs. They prefer to have equal playing trade. That's my point, Matt, is we've never had equal playing trade. It's always any of these countries or any of the arrangements we had. What I'm trying to point out here, and what I was trying to point out with Arnetta, is that our politicians are making stupid deals, and they've been doing this for a long time. And I just want to make sure we all understand these trade upside down policies did not happen on this watch. They've been building for decades now because of our dumb politicians. Talk to me.
Well, yeah, but this is actually the answer to this, or my opinion on this, is going to draw back to your previous question, which you asked, is this a Hail Mary pass? And I completely disagree with the rest of y'all. This isn't a Hail Mary pass. This is one tool that he's using to try to modify behavior. And he's got a lot more tools than this. So this is nothing to panic about. What we have to realize is that there are many more carrots out there, and there are many more sticks that he can use. For instance, Kerry said it himself. Again, I agree a lot with Harry's theories, okay? But he said it himself. He said, if we lose China, we just redirect to Mexico and Canada. He's talking about trade if everything goes sour in this trade war. Okay, well, let's take the next logical step here. If that happens, we redirect production to Mexico, which offsets whatever they're eating in a 5% tariff. Okay, so let's better define the tools that we have and our position in the world as a leader. This is not something to panic over. This is something that we've got many more options. And what we're seeing is our trading partners now have to compete against one another to be able to trade with us. That's the position we're in.
This president, being President Donald Trump, if it works out, he will historically go down as one of the greatest presidents and game changers in history of all time. If it doesn't work out, he will be one of the biggest fools ever in American politics. What do you say to that?
Well, I agree. I mean, we'll see. Well, people like Harry, decades from now, will be talking about it. But here's what it comes down to. Our country has decided we've got two choices, death by a thousand cuts, or are we going to put our hands up and fight? And when I hear academics and economists say, we can't do this, we can't do that, we're doing all these things. and we're doing it well, and we're winning. So we need to better define where we're at and what's happening. This is what a reset button looks like in reality. That whole show with Hillary Clinton and the reset button and Russia was a joke. This is a real reset button.
Matt, that is really well said. That is a fantastic analysis, I have to tell you. And it really, you just listen to that. It is a reset button, people. Very, very interesting. It just, again, makes us all think a moment about the historical times we're living in. So as we look again at all of the trade deals and Mexico, again, the Hail Mary pass or not, as Matt says, or how many tools he has in the toolbox there, he certainly is playing it out unconventionally. You see, a lot of people just don't know what to do with that because he is, again, he's the odd kid in classroom high school who came in and disrupted the class. And you didn't quite know what to do with that kid. That's Donald Trump, clearly. And so do these times call for that, I guess, is what you got to ask yourself. It's interesting. I love having these kinds of conversations. We'll have more Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
I'm going to ask you to go to thewoundedblue.org. That's www.thewoundedblue.org. That is the website for the organization that is the National Association for Injured and Disabled Police Officers. It is a support organization for these men and women who have given so much in the line of duty. We desperately need your help to raise money to get this movement going. And if you are a GoFundMe-er, go to GoFundMe, look up the Wounded Blue, and you can give there as well. But check it out, please, and also check out our film, The Wounded Blue, on Amazon.com.
As we continue on here, Dennis Santiago, Jewel Jones, Matt King, Arnetta Notkin are with us here. And very interesting conversations today. I was definitely looking forward to this one here to get Harry on to stir the pot up front. Again, let's get people to think a little bit outside of the realm here. And I think we're exactly doing that here. Let's bring it back. I want to talk about the Mexican president, Lopez Obrador, and what President Obrador says here. And he says, people don't leave their homelands for pleasure, but out of necessity. Now, that's a hell of a quote that caught my attention and made me think. People don't leave their homelands for pleasure, but out of necessity. Now, just I want you to think about that a moment. Just put that on the side, please. Okay? All right? So now we're talking about a humanity issue of all these people who are looking for some sort of necessity in their lives. Okay, got it. He says the Statue of Liberty is not an empty symbol, okay? When the Statue of Liberty, now I want to point out a couple of things here. I want to set the record straight with all of you. And this is important, okay? Because really what I'd like to do, honest to God, I'd like to take the Statue of Liberty, cut her up in boxes, and send her back to France is what I'd like to do. And then put something else in the harbor there, whatever it might be. We can do a vote on that. Or the Statue of Liberty was completed in 1886. It was a symbol of friendship, friends, with France. It was a celebration of democracy and the end of American slavery, period. It was never, however, about the world's tired and huddled masses and all of that business that it is today. Now, this is what the far left uses as their beacon to open up America and have no borders and let America become whatever America is going to be. On the flip side of that, I want to remind you that America was always an experiment, always an experiment. 240 years in now, we are an experiment, people. You got to remember that now. This has never been done in humankind before. And we're at that pivotal point of that experiment again. Here's that damn statue with the masses and all of that business. So what does America become ahead? I need you to think about this. Those lines, by the way, that give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe fire and on and on and on, the golden door and all of that. The whole thing was a placard that was put on because they needed to raise money to finish this whole project of the Statue of Liberty. And there's a whole story about this here, I'm telling you. And it's just interesting to remind people what this was. This was an activist poet that became many people are using as the nation's as our vision. And there's a whole lot of history about our immigration programs here in America, but I think it's a pivotal conversation to everything we're talking about, people, because this is really America the experiment and what happens next. So here's what I'd like to ask you. And let me bring it to right off to you, Jules. I want to start with you on this. And the question I have is this. When you look at our immigration policies back in the 20s, the 1920s, okay, in the immigration, the 1930s, the 1940s, and then we started tightening up immigration. We've had troubles with immigration over the many, many years. What I wonder is, have we drifted from those early ideals? And was the experiment of America to keep those doors and borders open to take in the world's poorest? Because that is the soundbite. And here's the problem. That soundbite now has been broadcast all over the world. Everybody from Guatemala, Honduras, to Istanbul, and back and forth to Europe, and everybody knows that we have that statue in the harbor, and we've got these open border ideals to take in the world's poorest. And this is kind of the brand our people put out there, Jules, and nobody said a damn thing. So what gives?
Well, you know, as far as that's concerned, we didn't say that you could come in here in caravans, that the way to get into the United States was to break immigration. I mean, you know, break through borders, climb walls, go through tunnels. That wasn't the idea. It's still not the idea. We still have rules in place. It doesn't mean that you can bring diseases. You can, you know, trade children and have them come across the border and put them at risk. I mean, we're having deaths on our border. We're having diseases come across our border. We also need to keep the American people safe. I live in Hollywood, California, and we've got a huge epidemic here. You're putting people at risk. And back in the 20s and back in the 30s, you know, we had certain guidelines in order to cross the border. Those they seem to have been set aside. We're going by a whole new group of rules now.
We live in this extreme polarizing time right now. There's very limited discussion on the real issues or common ground. I mean, we don't have those conversations anymore. And obviously, I'm not sure we'll ever come back together as a people in the foreseeable future. I mean, and there's a lot of talk about that right now because we've become very dysfunctional as a society, as a political class, as a country, as a nation. But again, back to those American ideals. Dennis, you know where I'm going. The brand they put out there for real is that liberty, the open arms, the torch in the air, come however you get here, get here. And that's what the people are doing. What do you say?
Well, Mel, yeah. Well, you know what, Malcolm? It's like, I like that statue, okay? So here's my suggestion. Let's keep the statue. Let's change the plaque.
Change the plaque? Pull the plaque off? All right.
I mean, you know, like, where are we today in terms of who we are as a society? We are in a debate as to whether or not the words that are on that plaque have more meaning than the words that are in our Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah,
And that's really at the very core.
I like what you say there, actually. You just got me thinking a lot, actually, with that statement. I like what you say there. What would it take for us to change that placard? How could we raise some money and do that? That's a hell of a movement, by the way.
Well, you know, considering we're taking statues down and changing plaques all over the rest of the country, I don't see why, you know, what's one more, right? I
mean, well, hold on now. That's a good, no, that's a great point. Let me go there a minute with you, please. Let me go there because the left has been taking all of that down. So hold on now. So why can't others with a more conservative agenda of America, so why can't we just have one request in Dennis that we want to change the placard? And we'll raise the money to do that. So what if we create a national movement, Dennis? I'm very serious. Now listen to me a minute, please, everybody. From sea to shining sea. And we want to change the placard of American ideals. What about that being the 2020 campaign, Dennis?
Well, you know what? How many signatures does it take to force the situation where the White House has 100, to respond 000, to
100,000.
Yeah. So 100,000. If you can put 100,000 signatures on that whitehouse.gov question thing, I don't think it'd take you very long.
Well, I think we probably got 5 or 6 here on the line right now. That'll help with that theory. Potentially, I'm
saying,
thinking,
you know, if you want to ask a fundamental question about the values of America and you want me to choose between what's on that plaque, Thomas Jefferson, I can tell you exactly where I'm going to go with that one.
I have talked before on air about cutting that statue up and sending her back to France because I'm tired of the conversation and I'm tired of people crapping all over American ideals and I'm tired of taking this American experiment and pissing it away. I almost think I'm going to tell you this here, there's a piece of the populace, back to what Harry just said when he identified the MAGA movement and the people. Well, I'll just say to you this. my heart, and I understand the MAGA movement very well. I understand the patriots of this country. I understand the people who are tired of being taken advantage of because I'm one of them. Okay? And I'll tell you what I also see. If I was to replace the statue, I'd put some statue up there with her middle finger up and say, kiss my you-know-what. Now, what do you say to that, Arnetta Notkin?
Well, Malcolm, you know, there's a saying in the South, that dog don't hunt. So I, you know, I'm with Dennis on this, and that plaque is a dog that doesn't hunt anymore. We'll switch it to the plaque. It's a dog that's covered in fleas and ticks. What that statue needs a new dog. It needs a new plaque.
All right, but how about if we do that as a movement on America Out Loud, actually?
Let's go for it.
I mean, wouldn't that be pretty cool to really talk about changing the placard? And it could come right from this conversation we're having today.
Absolutely. Let's go for it.
I mean, this would be an eye-opener. Jules, are you with us or not?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a fabulous idea. I mean, really, I'm all for it. I'll get on it today.
Let's hear what Matt says. Let's see if he's going to throw cold water on us. Matt?
No, I'm fine with that. I'm fine. It is a great symbol. It's a great symbol, but also let's just realize that it was originally intended to be sent to Egypt. This originally was an idea that it was going to sit and light up over the Suez Canal. Wow. So if we're going to be romantic about this as a symbol, let's just be honest as well.
Yeah, I love what you say. That's a great way to put it out there, buddy. We talk about social issues. We talk about our political divide. Right now, the word of abortion is being thrown again. This is out there. States' rights are taking control back, and they want to reverse some of this stuff. What's really happening is many of these states are really trying to and let me just cut to the chase to everybody and tell you what's really happening here. As well over a dozen conservative states now have passed laws this year restricting access to abortion in one way, shape, form, or another. Now, a lot of this is the answer back to infanticide here. That was where they started killing the babies when they were born, and that got a lot of people outraged, clearly, to say the least. And that created a nationwide debate over all of this stuff, reproductive rights and this whole Roe versus Wade business. I think a lot of these states are trying to push this back up to the Supreme Court. And by the way, the Supreme Court came out recently, and I read something. They said that they are not ready to take up abortion again, and they do not want to have that fight. And that was a statement I've seen from them somewhere just recently here. Interesting. Jules, I want to discuss the social issues of our lifetime, abortion being one, gay marriage, transgender, all of these social type issues. I think politicians use these as a means to divide the populace. Now, I always think the Republican Party went wrong when they immersed themselves in all of these social issues years ago, and they became the hate mongers of the black community, the gay community, the women community, and I think that's part of the problem of the divide in this country. But I think politicians are very successful with using these social issues to politically divide our country. What do you think with all of these actions? And I'm not so much talking about pro-choice and pro-life here, but I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying, the actual problem of dividing our nation on social issues.
Well, it's a tactic. I mean, of course, you know, divide and conquer. That's what they're doing. And they're hitting people in the gut here. They're using some people's personal experience and what they have, you know, gone through and you know, whether it be bullying as a child or, you know, abortion or, you know, a situation, and they're causing a stir here. You would expect nothing less from the left. And the thing about it is at the end of the day, you know, you really have to kind of make it vanilla and not look at it from a oversight, you know, what's best for the country. And as far as killing babies, no, that's not who we are. And no, I don't see us doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dennis, the same people who are willing to kill the babies, as Jules just puts it there, are the same ones that are crying on the camera and the microphone every chance they can about how Trump is separating women from children on the border, which you really can't compute those two scenes in your mind and give me a rational answer back. But yet it continues onward, and this political divide is there. You're in a unique place because you live on the West Coast, and you're also in a unique marriage where you have one from the left, one for the right. Talk to me about the social issues, please, and what you see and how they're dividing our nation.
Well, yeah, the social issues, you know, the bottom line here is America is a country of individuals, and each individual has a basket of values that they carry around with them, and they don't fit any particular political party. What we are seeing right now is a concerted effort to make it that if you hold a value, you can only be with one side, and that it's impossible to actually cross sides. And that's completely wrong. I mean, yeah, you're right. I you know, I'm in a mixed marriage, as you would say in this country. I mean, and we love each other very much, even though we don't agree on a lot of things. That has nothing to do with the fact that as two individuals, we still like each other. And we've lost that in so many ways in this country. I had a friend that was taking flack on social media the other day because she said she was supporting her friend who was a trans person who is running for office in New Jersey as a Republican. And they're going, that's impossible. That cannot be. And you know what? The bottom line is, yes, it is possible. It can be. You can be anything in America and still be a good citizen.
Very well said, Dennis. Very well said. I want to take it from here a moment here. And I think it's important to point out a couple of things here. Okay. And that is that these are heavy times. They're difficult times. You hear some of the conversation we're having on Viewpoint here, people. So the real objective to me here is to bring back civil discourse in this country, and that we can disagree and still have civil conversation. That's lost. People are really hateful out there. They're hate mongers and people who listen to the conversation. And we've become just in a really hateful place in this country, which to me serves absolutely no purpose. I think back to American ideals. One of the most important American ideals is the diversity of our opinions, my friends. I want you to take that, please, with you on your road today, every day. The diversity of our opinions is a beautiful thing in this nation. We should never lose sight of that. If you're a conservative today, kiss a liberal. If you're a liberal today, kiss a conservative. And for you hate mongers, just be quiet, sit down, and shut up a moment, please, okay? Because you're not helping the battle out. There is no future if this country doesn't come together and unite in some fashion here. I'm telling you, it does not happen. It does not look good. This American experiment is a very unique one to me. And the more and more you study how people use these divisive means of social issues or that statue up there in the harbor, and I do find it a really interesting. I've been studying that statue for years now, quite frankly, and a lot of the rhetoric and talk behind it, it fascinates me. And I think the idea of changing the placard is not just a joke, but I think something needs to be done. And maybe that's the moment we can come together as a people and talk about what are our American ideals. Really interesting, dynamic conversation on Viewpoint this Sunday. This is a news magazine of diverse opinions and thoughts. I want to encourage you at this moment to pull into our newest program, The Voice of the Nation, every Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you'll get the encore at 8 a.m. the following morning on the drive time. So you can catch us either drive time. My truth, your truth, American truth, somebody's truth maybe, yeah? We all have a truth, don't we now? Yeah? Well, that's where you'll hear my truth on that program. And you'll hear some of the most outstanding voices in the nation on The Voice of the Nation here, Monday through Friday here. Viewpoint is an exceptional program. I want to thank all of our guests today, from Harry Dent. We want to thank here Dennis Santiago, Jules Jones, Matt King, Arnetta Notkin. And more than that, we want to thank you for being a loyal listener and being part of this movement here at America Out Loud. It's time to get involved and get loud. The Out Loud Truth continues back at AmericaOutLoud.com.